and welcome to Sprovcast, English language Sprovka, but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I am glad that we finally started.
Yes, we've had many, many technical difficulties before.
Difficulties
before the recording of this. One of my mixers doesn't work. Luckily, I have a second one, and I have never used this for doing the podcast before.
It's very big. It looks like we're about to create some sort of wall of sound, sort of 60s doo-wop thing.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous, an 8-track recorder, which is 7 tracks more than we need, honestly.
Yes. But I've got a one-track mind, David. A one-track mind for talking about FC Sprovka Brno.
Hooray! Yes, because it's sort of going okay.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
It's also a podcast about Sprovka Brno.
Yeah, so we should probably talk about them.
Will we?
I think so.
Okay,
in a revolutionary move. Let's do that. So we've got 2 games to report back on, 2 games to look forward to. Hot or not, beer of the podcast, anything else?
No, I'm going to go home.
Fine. Okay, let's do that so you can go home. Can you have a good 0-0?
Well, I think we're about to find out.
Yeah. The season restarted with us playing at home to Chrudim at the lovely time of 3 p.m. on a Saturday.
I could get used to that.
Yes, we've got another one this Saturday against Tabor, is it?
Against Tabor, yes.
Yeah.
Tabor.
Yeah, so I'd say this actually was a good 0-0 because it was basically a totally new starting 11 against a Chrudim side second in the league who concede fewer than 1 goal a game. And, yeah, and we played well.
Yeah, I thought we played reasonably well. The end product will come.
Yep.
And we're going to find out pretty soon about that end product coming. Not a 0-0 in the sense... Okay, because you have a good 0-0s, right? You have enjoyable, entertaining 0-0s. I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go to the... Because you can get stuff that's like totally end-to-end and there's chances and they've rattled 3 off the crossbar and stuff like that. This is not that sort of game, but it was one where you had a new squad bedding into a game where actually, you know, something meant something. There's points on the line. You're trying to haul yourself up to, get out of, danger, basically, in the bottom half of the league. And I think that we coped reasonably well with what Chrudim threw at us and tried to create our own, just not with much of an end product.
Yeah, the front three looked lively from the off, as we mentioned when we were there. It was a front three of McLeod as a deep-lying central striker, and then Vacholsek and Kronos either side. Vacholsek was a more than willing runner. He looked good in the first half, didn't he? He started to wilt in the second. But first half, he was up and down that left-hand side like nobody's business.
The left-hand side was really good. I mean, if we're talking about the first half as well in particular, Lukasz Kuber as well was also, I thought, really, really good the game. He's been a bit of a hit-and-miss sort of player, so it's good to see him get some minutes and actually get really into a game. He looked very settled.
Yeah, him overlapping on the left as Vacholsek drops inside when the ball goes kind of into the last third seems to be a thing that we're doing. And it was Vacholsek who arguably should have won it, actually, in the second half. He met a decent cross from Kuber, in fact, fired it straight at Sherak in the Chrudim goal. Brzeczka also had an attempt with a header directly from a corner. This was both in the second half, that also found its way straight into the keeper's hands. But yeah, we limited Chrudim, I would say. We had the best of it overall,
Chrudim,
I would say.
Look very, very ordinary and very, very, very uncreative without David Letal. That's the one thing that I kind of put up from this game. A lot of meandering sort of like runs into basically nowhere. They kept trying to get to the edge of the box and cross it in. Now that happened once effectively. I don't really remember anything, any other like real actual danger that I felt going, oh, this could go bad. It was just one of those games where I think once you got to about an hour in, there was just that feeling, well, right, we're never going to lose this. I mean, particularly in the second half, they offered absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It never really got into our final third for a lot of it. Or if it was, it's because we had it there and we're holding. So, look, I mean, I'll take that against a team which, at least on paper is second in the league, scores, reasonably, good number of goals and is actually very stingy in terms of its defence.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, sorry, were you going to say something there?
No, I was just going to say a word next, because I've sort of got my notes on my phone, so I'm looking down and so on. One thing as well, just about the whole Lethal thing and what we were saying, just regards to Hrudim quickly. They've got a very kind run-in in terms of like fixtures and so on. It looks very, very bad that they've not replaced Lethal, particularly as Slavia B beat them 1-0 at home over the weekend. And that's one that I never really saw coming. So they're going to have to really pick up, or they might actually then start going down the table. Ostrava B the weekend, now that really should be 3 points. Ostrava B have the worst defense in the whole of the league. Then you're going to Varnsdorf, and we'll talk about Varnsdorf later on. And again, that's at home. Should be beating a team away that has to travel further than most to matches. And then you've got Sparta B as well, which we'll also be looking forward to in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. Otherwise, in goal, our first glimpse in the flesh of Adam Hero, dressed in the colour of those Dino Rod drain cleaning vans, which I was very pleased about. But yeah, he looked confident. He was pushing the team higher up the pitch.
Yeah.
By far than we saw in the first half of the season. He was almost standing on the halfway line.
He's one of those guys that likes to stand out. I mean, time will tell if this means that he's going to be the... one of the most overused terms for these sorts of things, sweeper keeper, that likes to just stay up and things like that. But yeah, I mean, shows a lot about someone's age, the confidence that they're able to just sort of advance like that with being like, well, there's no worries here or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Decent crowd as well for this team this year, just over 3,000.
For the first game as well, we were surprised at how many were there.
Yeah, it was pretty busy. Yeah.
I mean, very quickly actually with Hrdina, you know, sort of coming in, and Hrdina looks very much like he is now going to just be the number one.
Yeah.
It's also goodbye and possibly not that much good luck to Philip Mucha, who has departed the club as of yesterday.
Yes, as they say in the RAF, I must fly.
Yeah. Yes. I've never been more angry at in one moment about a keeper than I did at that time as Zizkov against with Philip Mucha, man.
What were you shouting at him?
I can't remember. I was very hungover.
It was vitriolic, whatever it was.
I was paraplegic with rage. Paraplegic, that's not paraplegic. Paraplegic's very different. There you go. There's your title. Paraplegic with rage.
Apoplectic, I think. Apoplectic.
It's been a long day,
I think,
David.
Is the word you're looking for. Yeah, paraplegic with rage. That's in.
I was trying to save it, very much like Philip Mukran failed.
Hey. But yeah, like, as we said, as a first game back with basically a completely new starting 11, solid.
Yeah, I mean, by the time we'd hit the pub, I wasn't, you know, sort of ruining the what might have been. So you just
There were far more positives than negatives.
Yeah, and you go, that's the one out of the way that you're slightly worried about. Because our record against Reading's not great.
Yeah.
You know, it very much like, that's the one that you worry about. The one when we're away at Zlín, that's the one that you sort of worry about. Possibly Lishen and Vishkov, that's really, you know, the ones that I'm looking at and going... Right, a result here would be something quite good.
I mean, I wouldn't be worrying about away at Zlín, because nobody is going there and getting points.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm not worried about that. I'm kind of chalking that one up to we're probably going to lose.
True, but you never know.
Well, yeah. Would you like to go straight on to Varnsdorf after a little break, or would you like to do a hot or not or something?
I'm not good at decisions, that's the problem.
All right, let's do a hot or not then. It's hot or not, or hot or not. Hot, 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 not, not, not. It's this bit of... our show.
Podcast show.
Good. Hot or not?
Look out, itchy. He's Irish.
Well, it is St. Patrick's Day this weekend.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Yes. What are you looking at? Right, I've got one of each.
As is traditional, so do I.
I'm going to start with a knot. And my knot is refereeing in the Polish Third League.
Oh, I'm for it. Here we go.
Right. There was a team called Wikielets. They're trailing 3-2 at home to Legia Warsaw 2 when they broke downfield. Wikielets' centre forward is clear of everyone, falls over his own feet outside the box. The ref blows for a penalty and sends off whichever one of Legia's defenders is nearest. Just for the fun of it.
It's like an Uri Geller sort of moment. Yeah. There. He's willed him down.
Yeah.
Very much like how David Beckham missed that penalty.
It was absolutely incredible. Like, I've watched the video 3 or 4 times and I still can't work out. Because from where the ref is, he's just looking at a man running directly away from him, who then falls over.
Right.
And yeah, outside the box, penalty, send off a defender from the other team. Incredible.
That's quite something.
Yeah,
that's
really quite is. Something.
There's evidently video evidence of this as
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
I will be enjoying later on then.
Mm. Yeah. That was it really for my not.
Well, I'm going to do a hot then because mine is also a football match.
Right.
And I just wanted to say this because I think it encapsulates what I like about football and supporting football and particularly like sort of lower league football. Mm. So I wanted to tell you about a game between Stranraer and Forfar.
Stranraer.
In Scotland, so this is Scottish League Division 2, Scottish League 2 even, so this is the bottom tier of league football within Scotland. And just for the record as well, Forfar are bottom, and they have one win in about 9 at this point.
Okay.
And they are going away on, I think it's a Wednesday night, to Stranraer. Now that's, in optimal conditions, that's at least 4.5 hours each way.
Right.
And a team that's not looking good is at the bottom of the table and is basically not winning, really. And fair play to Forfar for taking 14 supporters away, basically. Because, obviously, you have to get time off work or whatever, and things like that, if you want to go to that. Forfar then go down 1-0 in the 20th minute, and then get a man sent off at the end of the first half. The man's name is called Mackenzie Lemon.
What a name that is, by the way.
Mackenzie Lemon. Does not sound to me like a footballer. But then what happens is that they get one back in the second half in the 75th minute. And then in the 90 plus 4th minute, a Brad Rodden penalty means 10-man Forfar win against the odds in what
stunning.
Apparently was a terrible game of football. But what a buzz you must get, you know? You're all the way down, streak, nothing's happened, the game's been shite, you're 1-0 down and down to 10 men at the end of the first half, and half the time you're just like, all right, well, sod this, I'm going to the pub or whatever.
Yeah.
So fair play to Forfar, who then followed it up with another win against quite a good Elgin City side the weekend after. So fair play to them.
Yeah.
These days, of course, the Club 42 does have a playoff against the winner of a tie between the champions of the Lowland League and the Highland League.
Mm-hmm.
Of the teams that are in that and near around the bottom, I would hate it for Forfar to be relegated because to me they are just a proper league
sort of lower league stalwart,
Scottish
aren't
team.
They? Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
fair play.
Yeah,
you have to say
yes.
Listen.
Yeah, you'd be absolutely buzzing all the way home.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be great. Talking of buzzing all the way home, my hot is Cheltenham Town.
Cheltenham Town?
Yeah. Never thought I'd say that on the Czech football quiz, but yeah, Cheltenham Town. I don't know whether you saw yesterday, Cheltenham took on AFC Wimbledon in their League Two game. It was Wimbledon at home.
Mm-hmm.
And 150 or so PSV Ultras went to see AFC Wimbledon because they were already in town because they're playing Arsenal tonight.
Oh, okay, yeah.
After having a 7-1 shellacking at their place.
Yeah.
So they, you know,
they're just here for the beer.
Just
basically.
For the fun, basically. And I saw the video. Loads of the PSV Ultras had bought Wimbledon shirts and scarves, and you know, they clearly looked like they were there just for the fuck of it.
Yeah.
Really. And they were, you know, doing the, you know, jumping up and down, singing everything, blah, blah, blah. However, Cheltenham eventually won 2-1, and it will almost certainly be the only time that travelling Cheltenham fans get to sing It's a Long Way Back to Holland When You're Shit at a bunch of European ultras.
Unbelievable scenes.
Yeah, loved it.
That's fantastic. Was it PSV or Ajax fans in like Manchester that chased that guy down the road because he went out for a jog kind of near the stadium and he was wearing an Ajax shirt? or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was recently. That could be a link because my not is cash-strapped Manchester United wanting a 100k stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you read this?
I have read it and I've seen the sort of artist's images as well. The big circus tent.
It's like, I mean, almost exclusively, I have a hatred of modern stadiums, right? Yes. Because they're just soulless. They're way too big. They're way too away from the pitch.
And they're way too away from town, normally.
Exactly,
as well.
Yes. Yeah. And the idea as well that you have, what did they say, 2 billion or something like that? At a time where you're operating very much like a cash-strapped elementary school in one of the southern states of America.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, well, sorry, kids, you can only have an apple for lunch today or whatever. And you're sort of laying off, like, cleaners and janitors and everyone's worried for their futures. It's just, I mean, it's just so bad in terms of PR as well.
Everything about it, yeah. The timing is appalling. The fact it looks like a circus tent, everyone obviously went to, you know, the circuses in town, etc. Yeah. But what I also noticed was the weird shape of the... Because it's got those, like, poles sticking up, right? Just three big spikes. I wonder if they're the only 3 points they'll be seeing for a long time.
So, yeah, that was that. I didn't think it would get worse after their, what is it, 60 quid for a child's ticket malarc or whatever, but, yeah. Who'd be a Man United fan? Not me.
Yeah. I would... I was briefly going to say, I feel sorry for... No, I don't.
No.
It's hilarious. Apart from all the people losing their jobs, obviously.
Get the green and yellow scars out again, lads.
Oh, God, yeah. Right, after those hots or nots or hots or nots, let's talk about something which definitely was hot. Hot. Zbrojovka's players.
I was going to say the weather this weekend in the Czech Republic, which was lovely.
It was. 18, 19, 20 degrees at points. Sitting outside. Sitting outside with a beer. Lovely.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Apparently it's going to get awful by the end of this week and rain a lot, which is because my parents are arriving in town tomorrow. So nice things will not happen. But one nice thing absolutely is Varnsdorf nils Zbrojovka Brno 3.
Yes, 118 Zbrojovci made the 700-kilometre round trip on for a Sunday afternoon game.
Great support. Yeah. Great support.
Well done,
yeah.
Everybody going up to basically Germany.
Yeah. Well, having to go sort of through Germany to get to it as well.
Yes, at points, yeah. And they were treated to what looked like a very professional 3-0 win.
Well, with a couple of goals we can talk about at least.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. The opening goal was a corker with Patrick Jitney lofting the ball into the box to Tadeusz Wacholszek, who's facing away from goal, heads it back down to McClather, who... with his left foot thumps the ball into the far corner.
Almost pirouettes.
Yeah.
Because you see him shape and go, and I'm, were you like me? Because do you look at him shape there and go, he's going top corner with this?
Yeah.
And then he just goes completely the opposite direction where you think. He goes bottom right, low drill shot.
Yeah.
No chance for the goalkeeper.
Yeah. Through a crowd of bodies.
Yeah, through traffic.
Really smart finish. Lovely
and
stuff.
That's a strike that a confident player makes as well.
Yeah. I mean, He's only looked confident since he came in. He was scoring, not exactly for fun, but in the like mid-season training, he played four games, got three goals or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's clearly just slotted right in, had absolutely no problem.
Because that is the pressure point. That is when actually some of the paranoia, sort of seeps in when you are maybe more of an inexperienced player and you've signed on merit, right? Because they basically, it's my understanding of McClather, got him as a trialist almost to see if he'd go out. Then started netting, looking good in positions. Then you go, well, we'll give this guy a deal.
Yeah.
And then if you're a player, right? And you are getting the minutes and let's say three or four games have gone by, you haven't scored, you start getting subbed at the end of a half and things like that. Then that's when the sort of the head drops, the shoulders go down.
Yeah.
So just to be immediately, you know, just going in with finishes like that is fantastic. And by the celebration, it means a lot to him.
Yeah. Just to add to that point, the other thing is, of course, if you haven't scored for, let's say, three or four games and are getting subbed, as you said, this is now a club with competition for forward starters.
Yes, absolutely. So, it's a great point.
Yeah, so he's really... Yeah, he looks a player.
Setting his stall out.
Indeed. Goal 2 scored by Paddy Jitney himself, which I haven't seen because the stream died completely for 10 minutes.
Yes.
Which means it's not in the very weird highlights package either.
Can I just say a couple of words about the highlights package in itself? I wasn't able to to watch the game myself because I was going through a breakup at the time. But it's just so strange because it's been evidently been done in like in a back room in an hour by someone that doesn't really know what they're doing and has been badly time stamping stuff.
Yeah.
It's about 3 minutes long. The first 50 seconds to a minute are just the teams. Then you get about 30 seconds of the of the referee walking onto the pitch. So actually your highlights are about 45 seconds. You get sort of coverage of the first goal, notable by the boy always referring to McLeather as Palacios.
Yep.
And then nothing happens, and then suddenly it's the 75th minute and you're 2-0 up.
Yes. Yeah, it was very bizarre. So we don't know what Zhitny's goal looks like, but the third was a counter-attack involving Brechka, who, again, another one who looks like he's slotted straight in.
Yeah.
Slushy boy pinging a long ball out from the back to find Texel charging down the right, gets to the byline, cuts it back, and Cronus just cannot miss from 3 yards out.
The sort of goal that is scored against Borjovka
by Zizkov, by Vishkov, by Vlashim,
all these sorts of teams.
All the Ishkovs.
Yeah. And can we just say with Cronus as well, awful goal celebration.
I can't remember what he did.
He does this thing with his hands. It's almost like he's doing, like, he's almost like walking like an Egyptian. He goes like this.
Oh, okay.
It's very strange.
It's an audio medium, listener. You couldn't see that. What Sam was doing was this. So hopefully that helps.
Exactly. Can I also just say, when I say walking like an Egyptian, I mean the Bangles song. I don't mean, yes, like racist stereotypes. So if you have an issue with what I've just said there, it's broyovcast@gmail.com.
After this, a back three of Hoffman, Brechka and Novi is what I wanted to see, and mm-hmm. that's what happened.
Yeah.
And we didn't concede, and yeah, like I said, look very professional. And although Shural is technically club captain, I think this is the way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be, if everyone's fit, it's going to be Brechka, Hoffman plus one, isn't mm-hmm. it? Be it Novi, Shural, or like in the first game, Texel for reasons filling in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's going to be fun to see how this kicks on as well, because in a lot of ways, you should be beating Varnsdorf, because Varnsdorf are just having a stinker of a season. That being said, they won the week before. But if you think about things historically, we've had so much trouble going up there.
Oh, yes.
Because it is on that bus, heavy legs, and this was just a very routine
yeah.
sort of victory, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
With a pretty partisan, you know, sort of crowd, in the sense that you're only getting noise from one section, which is always the away section there. It is very, you know, sort of community spirited club, and there's not much, let's say, ultras or swearing or things like that. And
it's
then,
just, yeah. it's that one small stand. Everyone's very friendly because the away fans have to basically go through the home stand mm-hmm. to get to their section. So everyone's yeah. very nice
yes.
and very peaceable, and yeah, the travelling fans make all the noise
yeah.
while the 300 or so home fans sit there and politely applaud things.
And you'll
that have
queue
happened.
Up for a club asset at half time together, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yes, so that was very satisfying indeed. Shall we talk about Tabor?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no. Tabor were playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
Is it Tabor?
I think so, yeah.
Good, because I did the preview for it.
Good.
All right. Yes. Could get used to these Saturdays at 3, eh?
Yes. Tabor away. I think it was the second game of the first half of the season. One of the rare bright sparks.
Yes.
Of the we won it. It was 1-0, wasn't it, I think?
Yes.
With Vesnicek's last...
Zreznicek's, I think last goal. Last goal
before he went to Dukla, yeah.
It's a good cross, good header, and I think it sort of lights up, I think, a pretty underwhelming game, if I recall.
It was dull as ditch water.
Because you were there, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and it was a cross from Cronus from the right, and Zreznicek bundling it in. It was the only thing that happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's twice you've
Hi,
been...
Micah.
Hi, Micah. That's twice you've been to Tabor, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm still to go and experience the delights of that particular section of South Bohemia. But
yeah.
No worries, because we're at home. And after our, I'm going to be liberal here and say our 4-point haul over the past two. It is a haul when you've been, you know.
It is a haul, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're welcoming Ceylon to Borsko back to Srpska. A match that has semi-interesting connotations, I feel, because there's a chance to draw level with them on points.
It's quite close, the kind of bottom two-thirds of the table.
It is.
Are quite close, aren't they?
It is. It's technically possible to leapfrog them, but even I think the most optimistic of us are going to say that an eight-goal swing is not going to really happen in this game. But it does give the possibility of a team hauling itself up, being far more to be far more comfortably mid-table, which should be what minimum expectation is at this point. If everything goes to pot, Zbrojovka should be finishing eighth.
Yeah.
We should be looking, I think, now with this squad for a lot more, but you need to get there in order to then build on it, solidify and so on. So what I would maybe say the most striking off-season activity for our opponents was a confidence-boosting friendly against our pals Hrudim.
Mm.
I would put five past them.
Oof.
5-2 win. They had a more... We're going to have a theme, actually, of kind of strange friendlies over this in the next preview. They had a more recent 2-2 draw with Bayern Munich 2.
Sure, why not?
So, there. And also, one thing for optimism as well, that they only lost a Czech Cup quarterfinal 1-0 to Slavia.
Mm.
So that's, you know, and I don't know, I didn't watch that game. I don't know if that's them shutting up shop or things like that. But on the surface, mid-team table against the best team in the country, yeah. I think is pretty good.
Yeah, really good.
So, yeah. So that's all really positive stuff. That hasn't been reflected in their return to league duties. Thank you for Kenny on our group chat for letting me know about this match, which I then had to sort of look at myself. A frankly bizarre match where they went up 2-0 up away to Banik Ostrava B, thanks to two own goals in the 30th and 39th minute, before being held to a 2-2 draw with goals conceded in the 41st and 45th minute.
Wow.
Have to mention that.
Yeah, bizarrely action-packed, like, 6 minutes or whatever. Yeah, very strange.
And you've just got a Facebook notification from Kenny. It's just come up on the screen as well.
Oh, Kenny.
So, hi, Kenny. And, yeah, they followed that up with a 1-0 loss at home to Jihlava. Jihlava are not a good team. They're struggling in the lower half of the division. That in itself does feel like a very Zbrojovka result. Sort of losing 1-0 at home to Jihlava. But, you know...
Not a good team, and we've nicked one of their best players.
Yes, that's, one of the best player, probably.
Yeah.
So, you know, by Czech second division standards, Tábor are reasonably economical as defence. So they've conceded 19, a little over one per game. Certainly compared to a team has conceded, 10 more, frankly, which is us.
Yeah.
And that's in no part thanks to the Varnsdorf game the first time around, where we got absolutely bodied by them. But really, if we think about being up top, they're sort of hitting bare minimum expectations, like in front of goal. So 19 scored, three of those are own goals. 10 to opt for this 4-2-3-1, and their most used front four players have 7 goals between them.
Yeah, it's ropey, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the one that we've singled out before on the podcast, Bojan Djordjic, he's missed a lot of games due to injury.
Czech second division legend, Bojan Djordjic.
Exactly. And so that's also just left them a little bit stretched. And really, there's not been that much movement, I guess, in terms of like what's happened, you know, since Christmas, in that, you know, the one thing that maybe sticks out, you've got Mamadou Kone, who is their centre back, he's left for Cheske Budějovice.
Dear me.
I know, and it says a lot about Cheske Budějovice that he's played every single minute since he's gone. But coming the other way are the trio of youngsters, Ondřej Novák, a defender, there's Matos Nikol, a bit more of an oven-ready sort of defensive mid, centre back and a pinch sort of guy. Got Tomáš Hák as well, as a midfielder. They might turn out to be good signings. I have my doubts if such players are not good enough for one of the worst teams that the Czech top flight has ever seen. But maybe...
Oh, right. Was that... that when you said coming the other way, that was literally Kone went and they got 3 Chebe players in return?
They got Novák on loan, I believe. But the other two are are transfers.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's them trying to get out as fast as they can and see nothing. But if you are not getting game time at a team that has, and correct me if I'm wrong,
4 points,
yeah. It's not looking good. Taking a lot of heat, by the way, off like Karvina and Pardubice in terms of their points totals, because they look absolutely rubbish as well. So
yeah, very much a if the Premier League's bottom three wasn't so dreadful, Man U would be in a relegation scrap sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only other thing, I mean, they've got to get Tomáš Poliak, who comes in at the end of loan, end of season loan. He's getting minutes from Slovan Liberec. So he'll come in, he'll play some stuff. He's a better player because he's, frankly, a fringe player at Slovan Liberec. So he should do quite well
Loves the blue and white kit.
In slightly funnier news, Jakub Nečas, remember him?
Yay!
He's dropped down a level, so they've put him out on loan to Příbram, our favourites.
No time to lose.
So, yes, thoughts on this, because I think would be welcome from you, David, because on paper, and based on what we saw, well, most of what we saw on Sunday, this feels like it really is a good opportunity to get another 3 points on the board.
I'm going for a very solid 2-0 win.
I was
going
to say 2-0 as well.
Because we haven't conceded in our opening two games, which is very unlike us.
They haven't scored.
And we've looked very solid, and they haven't scored, and we did them at their place. Turn up, roll them over 2-0, bosh. That would be ideal.
In a pub at 5 o'clock.
That would be absolutely ideal.
The absolute dream. But if you have listened to Zbrojovcast listener for, let's say, more than just, say, 2 episodes, you will know that these things rarely amount to anything. So it will be interesting to see what happens. I'm looking forward to the game. I think we're going to get a reasonably good crowd that have been buoyed by the last couple of games.
Including your dad as a lucky charm.
Yeah, so Big Al's coming over, so I'm looking forward to welcoming him to Srpska. Where I hope or wonder if you can still get that pretzel that they'd advertised last time.
The pretzeled bread.
Get pretzeled bread.
Yeah, beer and pretzeled bread.
And also, shout out as well to the van outside.
Welcome back, the van.
Yeah, it seemed that there was a bit of a lover's tiff between the van and the owners of the club, but they're allowing their far better beer back in now.
Yeah, I'm absolutely chuffed about the return of the van. That's very good news.
Turn off the van.
Here it is. Top of the ground.
On the subject of beer, David.
Yes, let's do that.
Beer of the Podcast.
Every time we do that, I always wonder if my downstairs neighbours can hear us, because it's always the loudest point of the podcast. But the Beer of the Podcast this week comes courtesy of a friend of the podcast and general football going chap with us, Ben.
Yes, thanks. Hi, Ben.
Hello, Ben. This has been in my fridge since November, I think. It is from the Lviv brewery in Ukraine, and it is called Rudvyanya.
Ruzdvyanya. Ruz?
Oh, yeah.
Ruzdvyanya.
Yeah. Missed out the Z. Ruzdvyanya.
It's like the three.
Yeah, the three. So, yes, there you go. It is has a sort of a Christmassy label, because I think it's a... It was like a Christmas special beer or something. It's a dark beer.
It is.
As you can see.
Looks
Which is why you've got more in your glass than I have in mine.
I've not eaten today, David.
Yep.
It is currently this, 10 to 8. Yeah, good.
You know, this looks a bit like it might fill you up, so...
Was it mothers after pregnancy giving them Guinness or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah, full of iron and calcium.
Don't do that anymore. My goodness, my Ukrainian holiday beer.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Mmm. Smells...
It's almost treacly.
Yeah, slightly sweetish.
Oh, it is very molasses-y.
It is molasses-y.
There's a little bit of sweetness.
There's a bit of toffee on the end.
A little
bit of toffee on the end. That's quite nice, actually.
At the bit in the middle of a chomp.
Yes, yeah, exactly that, yeah.
Do they even make chomps anymore? I don't know.
I don't know. I was always scared of them because the one of the few times I had one, I lost a tooth
to
a chomp, and I never had one again because I was always nervous about them. I stuck.
Yeah. How old are you? 35.
I stuck to the curly whirly after that.
stuck to the exact same thing in a different shape.
Yeah, it's the size of a small ladder.
Do like a curly whirly.
Mm.
That's lovely, though. That's really nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
A far cry from last episode's Beer of the Podcast.
That, by the way...
The varnish one.
That, by the way, listener, we've never done this before, but that went straight down the sink.
Yeah.
That was... We didn't even finish it. That was awful.
I hate to see beer wasted, but that was...
That was barely beer. Yeah, that was awful. But this is... Yeah, this is very nice.
Probably done a lot for your drain, actually, as well. Just sort of getting all the stuff cleared out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Ben.
Yeah, cheers, Ben. Right. On that bombshell, we have one more preview to do, which is... I don't know.
Spartab. So, David, probably my least favourite thing in all of doing the podcast is having to write a preview about a B team.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many unknowns and things like that about it. So this is maybe going to be slightly compact. I hope it's got a little bit of interesting information. Mm. Look, I mean, this match to me sums up my general, let's say, even though the team is good right now, my general lack of enthusiasm about away matches this half of the season, possibly with the exception of Li Shen. A Sunday 10:30 kickoff against a B team is not something to get particularly excited about, really, is it? But again, this presents Borjovka with a good opportunity. So one thing that stood out, again, talking about friendlies, is that Sparta B had a friendly in Marbella in January against Odd from Norway.
Odd Grenland.
Yeah, so I thought it was a bit odd. Hey. So yeah, so they'll be coming into this game on the back of a match with Varnsdorf that they really should be aiming to get a result.
Yeah.
Particularly since they started 2025 with an away win at Jihlava and a draw with Opava. Opava are okay, so that's pretty good. Jihlava yet less, so you should again be winning that.
Yeah, I feel that the phrase away win at Jihlava will be occurring more and more in the second half of the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really a tale of two teams in some ways. So the most striking thing about them is the goal record. So they've got 29 goals this season, which is level with Zlín at the top of the table. A massive 21 of those goals, and compare this with what we were saying about Tabor. Yeah. 21 of those goals has come from their forward attacking line.
Right.
You've got Daniel Roos as a particular focal point. You've got Radek Schiller and as well, who I like the look of, but he's been sort of rewarded by going out on loan to Teplice, which is probably a team that will suit him, actually. I mean, he's already been getting minutes there in the top flight, so I think he's definitely one to maybe look out for in the future.
Roos, if I'm not mistaken, has sort of been promoted to the A squad for the second half of the season.
Yeah, so
because that's... he is a genuinely talented boy. Like he is quality.
Yeah.
He will do good things.
Yeah, and he is your guy who is in the middle. So like the middle, the front middle. So they basically play a 3-4-3, a very attacking 3-4-3, you know, sort of bomb the wings, you know. And then he is sort of like right in the middle. He is a sort of the focal point. And then you had Schiller cutting in from the right as well. And then so it was all sort of linking up really well in that way. But on the other hand, the reason that Sparta B are 10th and not up there with Zlín and Hudim, despite scoring all these goals, is again that 3-4-3 formation, because it's the only formation they've used all season. And by God, they hemorrhage goals.
Mm.
So only Banik B have conceded more in the league than them. And despite scoring 29, they've got a negative goal difference.
Yeah. Yeah. After what? 17, 18 games, that's not a good look.
Yeah, no. So I guess it puts into perspective the 0-0 we had with them earlier in the season. And that was a side that never looked like scoring for us as well. So that's something. But, you know, this is a podcast about niche comparisons, right? The sort of the 3-4-3 and the troubles at the back, they are sort of reminding me a bit of Dundee.
Oh, wow.
Who,
okay.
Yeah, because what they do is that they have the sort of three at the back, and obviously it's a B team, right? So you're not... The B team's results, frankly, are immaterial, right? So ultimately, if I see that the B team lose versus Borjovka, I'll be disappointed, but ultimately it's not going to ruin my day the way that maybe a Borjovka defeat would. So it's all about testing out, you know, sort of new players and things like that. And it's just ultimately that they've got three your back three, which isn't really operating like a back three. So there's two, you know, there's two in there. There's not enough cover coming back because they're using that four in the middle to bomb sort of up, and it just leaves them totally exposed. So you do get, I mean, they'll overrun their end of the field. Then they'll get overran at the you know, their side as well. So really, it's going to be one of those ones where it might be the first goal that maybe sort of sees, you know, sees the initiative in some ways. The thing that I sort of concerns me a bit as well is that our 10:30 a.m. record generally after
pretty rubbish.
It's pretty rubbish because I could be wrong here, and I'd love someone who's more, you know, in tune with this to let me know. I'm pretty sure we still don't, you know, for a game in Prague, we don't stay over. We go up on the morning.
Yes, it would be interesting to know with the new club money, are they now paying for hotels for squad? It would be nice.
Because really, if you're a 10:30 kickoff, right, you actually need to be there probably 2 hours before, because you need the meal, you need to be able to get onto the pitch, get a shape of it, settle into the dressing room and so on. And actually, so when does that mean that your bus is leaving? Five?
Yeah, with some grim-ass tubs of Tupperware pasta on the way up.
So
nobody needs that.
Yeah, so not really. It's like that Wayne Rooney tweet. Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
sort of like, if like eating pasta at 11 a.m. isn't fun, or whatever he said. It's like, you know, at the time he was earning, what, 100,000 a week? You know what? We might get something there. A draw is not terrible, actually.
No, a draw would absolutely be fine, because this is also us in Prague.
This is us in Prague, exactly. So, yeah, so, I mean, again, but you never know. Like, if we somehow deliver, like, a scalping to Tabor, then you go in there and you go, right, let's just give him a go.
Yeah,
maybe you're a bit more reserved if it's just a 1-0 or something like that, but that looks a lot to, I guess, look forward to. We've not really had a time on this podcast to be this sort of cautiously optimistic in quite some time, so yeah, I think what we should all do is sort of keep cool heads, enjoy it, and also just like see what happens, because it's very clear at this point that our biggest fears was about God, you know, Bartoniec stuff and possibly getting relegated or hanging on by the skin of our teeth. Look, Bartoniec's gone. We're not getting relegated with this side. So now let's just go see what happens.
Yeah. There is a lot to like about this team right now.
Yes.
Like, yeah, cautiously, a lot to like about this team. So, In conclusion, all the lines go up. So I'm happy.
And what's also to like, of course, is Broyovcast on Facebook and on Twitter.
Yes, you should like both of those things. And we will be seeing you, if not at a game, because we are always there at the top of Sector N.
Yes, please come and say hello. Have a beer, have a smoke, have a bit of crack.
Beer, smoke, bit of crack.
Bit
is
of
it?
The crack. Yeah. That was more the that was I think that was when Varnsdorf put their fifth bias.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So come and say hello if you haven't, and even if you have, come and say hello again. And we will speak to you in a couple of weeks when all this has played out.
Bye.